and welcome to the Brand Strategy Podcast, a show created to equip you with the inspiration, encouragement, and clarity you need to build the brand of your dreams. I'm your host, Bonnie Bakhtiari, brand designer, strategist, and founder of The Illume Retreat. From sustainable strategy to heartfelt encouragement, each episode is designed to equip you with the tools you need to chase after your dreams. Because you deserve a brand that empowers you to do what you love, connects with your dream clients, and offers a deep sense of fulfillment along the way. So grab a cup of coffee and join me on this journey, won't you? Hey friends, welcome back to the Brand Strategy Podcast. I'm excited to introduce you to something a little new around these parts. Over the next few weeks, we're going to be diving into some content that's a little different than the usual brand strategy and business content that we talk about on this show. Instead, I'm going to be inviting you into a series of conversations, a limited run of episodes surrounding some of the most subtly pervasive mental health battles that we face as entrepreneurs. I'm going to be chatting with a licensed therapist, Josh Berger, who also happens to be my big brother, about some of the most common struggles, thought patterns, and barriers, essentially, that we all encounter as people and especially as entrepreneurs. And together, we're going to really peel back the curtain on some of these ideas so that you are able to not only develop a better understanding of yourself and maybe where you're currently wrestling, but you will be able to know how to have a clear path to move forward. At this point in our relationship, I believe you know that I really care deeply about equipping you with the tools you need to pursue your definition of success. Whether that is strategy-based or, in this case, whether that is more emotionally based. So over the course of these few episodes, I am so excited and so hopeful for the kind of conversations that Josh and I will be having here on the show. And I'm so hopeful for the kind of encouragement, insight, and clarity that I hope you will receive as a byproduct of this information. I know that I'm going to learn a lot. I hope that you do too. So cozy on up, grab a second cup of coffee, and join me, won't you? Friends, I am so excited to welcome you to today's episode where I'm going to be chatting with Josh Berger, who happens to be my big brother, but also who is a licensed counselor based in Houston, Texas, around a really massive topic that I see within the creative industry. And that's all around conquering the fear of success or failure. Now, this is a conversation that I'm just really pumped to be able to kind of peel back the curtain on a little bit, because I really think that we see within the creative industry a lot of people who are wrestling with this fear of failure, but also on the other side, a fear of success. So today, I'm just really looking forward to being able to break down this topic a little bit more so that whether you are wrestling with one of these concepts or you're just curious and you want to learn more, you are able to gain some great insight into how you can understand these topics and then move forward with clarity. So Josh, thanks so much for joining me, and I really appreciate you being on the show.
Thanks, Bonnie. It's great to be on. I appreciate you inviting me.
Oh, of course. I mean, when I started thinking about diving into some of these conversations around some of the more subtly pervasive mental health struggles that I see so many entrepreneurs wrestle with, of course, you came to mind as kind of like the go-to person that I needed to talk to about this. And I am just really excited to kind of pick your brain a little bit and learn more about your experience with these topics. And I think that starting with the fear of success or failure is honestly just such a great place to start. So if you're up for it, I'd love for you to like introduce yourself a little bit to our listeners and share a little bit about maybe your own experience.
Absolutely. So like you said, my name is Josh Berger. I've been a licensed professional counselor now going on 10 years. And most importantly, I have a wonderful wife and three wonderful little kids. And basically, I'm now starting my second career, first career being a licensed professional counselor out in East Texas. And recently, we launched another branch of Aletheia Counseling Center. And we decided we'd go ahead and go to the biggest city in the state of Texas, good old Houston. And so we just opened an office less than a year ago in Houston, or more properly Montrose, in the heart of Houston. And so we have a team of five therapists there. that I lead and really try to direct and kind of shepherd this office of all kinds of wonderful counselors with a lot of different skill sets. Personally, I work a lot with trauma and a lot with some level of anger, fear, fight, flight, freeze reactions, those kinds of things. And so particularly whenever, Bonnie, you mentioned the idea of, okay, let's talk about fear of success and fear of failure. I was like, man, just a typical Monday lineup. Let's go. This will be a lot of fun.
I'm super excited. And honestly, I love being able to have this conversation with you because as a licensed professional counselor and as someone who I've seen you really essentially start your own practice and build your clientele from the ground up, I feel like you understand so acutely a lot of the struggles that goes into like just the territory of being a business owner. And so it just felt really natural to invite you on and have this conversation with you. So since this is something that you guide your clients through and also something that you have studied and probably have some experience with on your own, I would love to know, in your experience, what is the difference between having a fear of success versus having a fear of failure? Is that something where like you have one or the other, or what does that look like?
So with fear of success and fear of failure, I think the first word of both of those is so important. It's a base fear. And fear is something that a lot of us struggle with. And particularly if it starts to become kind of a theme in our life, it can really turn into something like anxiety, where it feels like you're almost more comfortable being nervous or having worries than you are comfortable in being peaceful and successful. And so particularly when you're talking about fear of success or fear of failure, I don't see it as either or. I really see it as most likely both and. In general, just like you're going to have some type of fear in the future of, am I going to fail when you first start a company? Over time, particularly when you haven't fully faced that fear, it's going to probably kind of shape shift over to fear of success. Now that I'm doing well and I'm not worried about, am I going to have to turn off the lights and shut down? Can I hire another person? Or, oh my goodness, can my family handle this new responsibility? So I really think that you will likely have both, maybe not at the exact same time, but the base root of fear tends to shape shift into so many different areas. And that's one of the reasons why with my clients, I really try to dive into, okay, let's address these fears head on so that we're able to better kind of take them all on at one time.
Mm. That is so fascinating to me because I love how you said that, like, if you look at the base of those concepts, it's fear, like it's all rooted in fear. And I think that in my experience as a strategist and as a coach for creatives, I see so many of my own clients really focus on kind of like the brave decisions, like the brave aspects of like, I have this dream, I'm launching this business, I'm scaling, I'm hiring a team, I'm doing all these amazing things. And we see like the courageous actions that people take. And I think, you know, things like Instagram, social media makes it so easy for us to see all the doing that we're all doing. But realistically, I think when we kind of take a step back and look at, okay, in order to do that brave thing, what is the scary thing that someone had to get over in order to do that? I think it humanizes us a little bit. And I think that it helps us have a little bit more, hopefully a little bit more compassion for ourselves as well, that we are not the only people who experience this fear. Like, I think that if I look back even on my own journey, there was a lot of, you know, fear of failure. And also in some cases, as my business continues to grow, fear of success that I have wrestled with in order to continually get where I am today. And so I just feel like it needs to be said that possessing a fear of success or a fear of failure, like you said, it's something that we're all going to face at one point or another. And so I want us to just go ahead and kind of like very quickly, like, nix any like shame or self-doubt or self-limiting beliefs that we hold around possessing these mindsets and these feelings, because I mean, kind of like you were saying, right? They're pretty natural.
Well, not only are they natural, they're universal. Mm. There are two main things that I see whenever I'm talking, particularly with new entrepreneurs, that I feel like it really does become universal, and it's a fear of some level of, do I have what it takes? So that fear of failure would probably be a good way to summarize that. Or even when you start to get successful, you will have imposter syndrome. I've got here by luck. I actually am not a big deal. I actually am not good at my business. The only reason why I've even made it so far is because somehow it feels like I deceived other people into thinking that I'm good, but I'm really not. And so often you see both of those, and I really do think it's just almost the human condition. So as we're talking about all of this, I think it's important even just for our audience to sit here and be like, okay, this is, in some way, I'm going to have some of these fears. Unless I've just done work upon work of self-reflection, this is going to be something that each of us experience in different ways.
I love that. And I love that you brought it back to imposter syndrome, because that is such a pervasive mentality in the entrepreneurial community. So it's really, in my mind, it's fascinating and also a little bit comforting to see kind of like where that fear, where that belief essentially can be rooted. So that, because in my mind, if I can see where it's rooted, then I can see how to wrestle with it and grow from it. But all that to say, okay, so this is a universal thing. How do we recognize if we possess either the fear of success or the fear of failure? Like, what, I know there's probably no one size fits all thing, but like, how do we recognize that within ourselves if we're coming up against something like this?
Usually with decisions, that's where I like to start. So like if I'm sitting down with a client and let's say they originally came in, maybe they're doing a new business, but they're really finding themselves starting to get overly stressed, I'll use examples of, okay, what's a big decision you have to make in the next 2 weeks? And then we'll start to talk through the thoughts they have about that decision. So for example, if I have someone that's looking at, okay, I need to outsource some of my work, but I can't afford to hire anyone, which I know, Bonnie, is something you've written articles about and done podcasts on before. That's a great example of a decision of, okay, we'll write that decision down and then we'll start to kind of think through what thoughts and what emotions are you feeling around that decision. For most people, when they have one of these fears, either failure or success, it'll be the idea of this is going to bankrupt me. That'll be a thought that'll go on the board, or I can't afford this and this is going to be the decision that hurts me, or I am going to have too much work. I can't possibly find the time to train this person, or this person might end up not being worth the money. If all of those negative thoughts, which all of them will have a grain of truth, right? Fear is not fully irrational. It's semi-rational. Mm-hmm. And these are all things that could happen, but you just notice as we write them down, negative, harmful, catastrophizing over and over again, all of these thoughts to where all you're writing down are fears, are the negatives. That's when I would know personally, okay, this may not mean that you have an anxiety disorder or anything like that, but let's just address the issue as this is a root fear. And this has begun to really shape and kind of mold the decisions you're making because you're not able to see the opportunities. So that idea of kind of the fears and the worries versus the opportunities is one of the first places I look.
That's such good advice. Over here, like emphatically nodding my head along as you're talking. And I think something that really just stuck with me from what you said was this idea that like fear obstructs our ability to see like the possibility and the opportunities. And whoa, like that's so true. And it's kind of crazy because like a lot of the time when we experience fear, I think of it as like, it's probably there for a reason, right? Like we're experiencing this fear to protect ourselves from something. But in my experience with my sweet coaching clients, I see fear kind of take a different role. I think that I have seen really highly successful people unintentionally self-sabotage when they're faced with the possibility of failure or the possibility of unparalleled success, like a new level of success, a new level of growth. I especially see this in my clients when they're scaling, where they've never hit that height before and they don't know what to expect. So they start to kind of unintentionally self-sabotage. So when we're experiencing fear and we start to self-sabotage, how do we start to identify that? Like that concept of self-sabotage, maybe we can recognize it easily, maybe we can't. So what are some kind of flags, I guess, that we can look for to help us identify if we're coming up into that?
Well, when I think sabotage, the first thought that comes to my mind is you fell into the pit. Something really bad happened. And that can even be very traumatizing. To quote Dan Allender, trauma is whenever you lose your home. And I think that's a really apt saying for what can happen, especially with entrepreneurs when it feels like, oh my goodness, I feel like the business is about to go under, or I feel like now I'm not going to be able to be both a mom and a wife and an employee, or a husband and an employee, whatever it may be. that's when I really start to look at, okay, what happened? So actually, if you're looking, if you want to do a little bit of legwork yourself, I actually will have people kind of write out on a piece of paper. I'll just have them draw a line straight across and kind of do a timeline of their business and the business history, the decisions they've made. And basically what they do is they put the positive experiences above the line, the good ones, the successes, the wins. And below the line, they'll put the hurts, the hardships, or the times where they fell into a pit. And so actually going through that type of little legwork, whether you've had your business open for a week or if it's been open for 20 years, can really help you better understand and start to pinpoint, okay, what were the decisions going on that led to those successes? And what were the thoughts and decisions that led to the failures or to the hurts? And obviously some of those are going to be out of your control. This is a rocky world and it can lead to a lot of hardships. But I think for most people, that can really help us start to think through where self-sabotage is.
That's such good advice. And I love that exercise. That's actually something that I think you and I, we've definitely talked about that before. And I have shared that. Yeah, I'm sure we have. I shared that with a few of my group coaching clients, and it was just such a simple practice that helped them develop a more strong level of self-awareness. And so I highly, highly recommend just that very simple practice if you're curious and diving into that more.
Yeah. So, well, and especially with most of us, I'm not sure if you're this way, Bonnie, but I know I am. I tend to over focus on hurts. So even just doing this exercise, it can really be affirming because most of us feel like we're making just as many mistakes as we are good decisions. We're kind of 50-50 or one good decision for one bad decision. When in reality, most people are actually making, especially for businesses that are starting to grow, 5, 6, or even 9 or 10 good decisions for every mistake. And so just even being true and being honest with yourself about that can even be very affirming of, wow, that I actually have done a lot. I actually am not an imposter, perhaps even, just as we start to think through that. I'll also say self-sabotage is something that is almost always a blind spot of ours. So just like when you're going into something that you've never done before, you want to have other wise counsel and other people around. Self-sabotage is something that's best done with other people. So whether that's actually meeting with a counselor or having a coach or a mentor like yourself, Bonnie, or any other kinds of things where someone gets to walk alongside you, these things were not, in my opinion, designed for us to figure out on our own. No person is a complete skill set of every single skill. That's what outsourcing is for. And so make sure that you're aware, look, people are going to see things in you that you don't see in yourself.
I love that. And I totally agree with that. I think that when I think about relationships that I have with some of my closest industry friends, they're able to call me out on things, lovingly, of course, but they're able to like call me out on things that I'm completely like, just, I don't even see it. Like it's not even on my radar. And kind of vice versa. I think that when you are really close to something like your business, your brand, new project that you're cultivating, when you're really close to it, you sort of have this like tunnel vision for it. And it's very difficult to see anything else outside of that tunnel vision. So that's why it's so powerful to invite someone that you trust to come into that conversation with you and help you see areas for growth, areas for opportunity, things that maybe you could do differently to really challenge yourself to continue to move forward. So I think that's such great advice. Thanks for sharing that.
Of course.
So in your experience, I know that since this is something that you have seen a lot with your own clients, what are potentially some common misconceptions that you might see around people who have a fear of success or experience a fear of success? Like when I think about this, you know, they might, I know that they're just like stories that we tell ourselves and stories that we kind of permeate within our culture about people who have anxiety are not reliable. As someone with anxiety, I do not believe that. I think there are also a lot of things that we believe around, you know, people who have depression are X, Y, and Z. We label people these things. And so I think that if there's an opportunity for us to maybe identify some of these misconceptions you might see around this specific set of fears, that could be really powerful in helping us just understand and maybe change that conversation.
Well, and I love what you just said there of you are more than your anxiety or you are more than your depression. So often we do tend to be a society of labels and oversimplification, but even as we are talking back and forth, this is going to be not, oh, does someone have the label? of depression or anxiety, but is it just what amount do you have and how are you navigating that? How are you healing that? And how are you continuing to grow in those areas that may be hurts, old wounds, whatever it may be? So one of the common misconceptions would just really be that, Bonnie, of the idea that this fear is not unhealthy. I think fear is a neutral thing. It's designed, in my opinion, to keep us alive. In the same way, if you go way back to caveman days, if you did not have the fear gland in the back of your brain, kind of the amygdala, whenever all of a sudden there was a saber-toothed tiger trying to attack you, guess what? Your ancestor would not have survived. But that fight, flight, freeze reflex, I think, was there and has been really well cultivated for centuries, for thousands of years, millennia, in order to continue to grow and help people be able to survive things. So the way that I think of fear is fear actually often is motivation, and fear is energy in the tank, but it's what you do with that fear that matters. So I know you and I neither live in a place that has a lot of snow, but I'm still going to use this analogy just because it's so good. But the idea of the energy of fear a lot of times is like trying to move and start a car from stop to actually moving whenever it's in a snowy area. Now, most of you that do live in northern areas, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You're talking about the potential tendency to spin the tires. That would be fear running amok. That would be anxiety starting to take hold, because the faster you move and the more fears you have, you're just spinning. Mm-hmm. And it's an act of futility. Nothing's going to happen. In fact, potentially some damage can be done. But whenever you better are able to navigate your fears and you're better able to address them, like we're talking about, kind of identify your fears and pick them out one at a time, you can use that gas in your own car to better start moving slowly forward and actually giving you the energy to even navigate very hard things, whether it's a snowy patch on the road or starting up your own business.
That is such a powerful mental image of like how you can spend that energy, like what you do with it. I'm curious. So let's say, and this is actually a question that I like love asking anytime I have like anyone on the show. I'm a big fan of kind of breaking down some of these like bigger picture ideas into actionable steps that people can actually implement in their lives. Because I mean, like, it's all fun for us to like, you know, sit here and have this conversation, but like if people don't know how to move forward from this, then like, what's the point? So right. For people who are like, they're listening, they're nodding along, they're like, heck yes, I feel like I've wrestled with this. Now I'm starting to understand those mentalities more. I'm starting to see how I can give myself grace. And let's say they are wanting to overcome that fear, or maybe not overcome, but at least like begin that journey of healing their relationship with those fears. What is the first step that they should take? Like, how do they begin that journey?
It's a great question. Well, and particularly getting very practical, that's my love language. That's what I do every day, is say, go from the clouds and kind of the ivory tower ideas straight down just to the, okay, but Josh, what do I take away from this meeting or this session? I think the first place to start is just with identifying fears. So if you kind of think of the image of a really full balloon, like maybe you would have at a kid's birthday party, but it's blown up to the absolute max, that is the idea that most of us have of fear, is we just have this overwhelming thing that just feels like it's about to pop. And for many of us, when we're starting a business, that's the way it feels, is we're just sprinting and we're going and we're thinking of 5,000 things all at the same time and getting none of them done. That's an overfilled balloon. The moment you identify a fear though, Bonnie, it's like you're starting to slowly let out a little air from the balloon. Just by identifying it itself, you'll actually notice your brain will actually start to slow. You'll actually have your pulse probably lower 3 to 5 beats per minute just instantly. The moment you've actually either said aloud, hey, I'm feeling overwhelmed because there's not enough money in the bank, or hey, I don't know what to do about hiring this person, you'll actually feel yourself just get a little calmer just by that. So for a lot of clients, we'll actually start just by identifying those fears. And then what we do is we'll actually, because I'm a math guy, and you may remember this, I liked math in another career path, but we'll actually kind of rank how stressful these fears are. So kind of the idea, Bonnie, is if a 1 is like, this actually isn't a big deal, this is just like, I don't know, a library fine for $1 or $2 at the local library. If that's a 1 and 10 is the biggest fear you can have, you can actually just write out a little number to the side. of what level of fear this is causing. And you may have a list of three or four fears. If you're like most of us, you have a list of 25 or 30 fears. But you just kind of put a random number with 10 being as scary as it probably could be and one being basically no fear at all. The adage that I've heard, and this is a Millie Tanner out at Solace Counseling Center in East Texas that always told me this, is, Josh, anything that's a four or above comes from something in your past. Anything that's more scary than a four is something that is not really what's going on in the moment. And I found that to be true over and over again as I've walked with clients of, not that there isn't something that you're fearing right now, but that there's something in your past that's probably magnifying this fear. Whether it's past hurts from family, trauma, the fact that there's been other wounds that haven't fully healed, whatever those things tend to be magnifiers and be part of the paralysis that can happen with fear of success or fear of failure.
That is so fascinating. Like, I'm just like listening to you talk about this and my mind's kind of blown, like just that quote that you shared of, if it's a four or higher, that's tied to something in your past. Like, I think that that's such a powerful example of how our experiences do shape the way that we view the world around us and the way that we move forward from there. And I think that so many of us as entrepreneurs, we kind of like to think of like, we sort of have two lives. There's like, there's, you know, business owner you, and then there's like personal you. There's like the you that, you know, like is outside of the business and, you know, like has the relationships with your friends and family and like, you know, goes to the park with your dog on the weekends and all the things. But like, realistically, I think it's easy for us to sometimes, you know, unintentionally think that our personal experiences don't bleed into the decisions and the beliefs and the thoughts that we have and that we make as business owners. But honestly, like, as entrepreneurs, the work that we do is oftentimes so closely tied to our hearts and our values and who we are as individuals that it's difficult for us to truly ever make just a business decision that truly is not influenced or shaped by a personal experience. And so I think that like that idea of honestly, like just continually getting to know yourself better, like that exercise you shared of mapping out those fears and sort of ranking them, I view that as an exercise in getting to understand like your relationship with fear, but also your relationship with yourself in that context that can bring you so much more self-awareness and so much more clarity and so much more confidence. So I'm just getting a little excited just kind of thinking about like all the possibility and all the growth that can happen from that one seemingly simple exercise. So like, I love that you shared that. That's awesome.
Well, it's been something that I found has been so helpful with my own clients, and I'm glad that you enjoy it too. It's also been helpful in my own life as well. And by the way, for those of you that are listening, you're like, okay, great, but I'm not sure, Josh and Bonnie, if I really know myself, or I'm not sure if I know my gifts. That is going to be, shameless teaser, the next podcast that we talk about where we really talk about identity. But before you start there, if this was kind of the first step, it's identifying the fears and starting to think through where those fears may be coming from, the ranking. That's where I would sit down with a client, even in the first session or two, and really start right here. And then the second or third session would be jumping into what we're doing on that next podcast of, okay, who are you? What is your identity in this? And then how do we actually get to where we're not just navigating these fears or understanding, okay, I have this fear of success or this fear of failure, but we're actually seeing them dissipate. We're seeing them start to disappear into the wilderness, which is a beautiful moment for anyone.
Oh my gosh, that sounds amazing. I love that mentality also, of that just like disappearing into the wilderness. So what encouragement would you like to share to someone who is ready to just kick that fear of success, that fear of failure to the curb?
I think the biggest thing that I see, Bonnie, is just the look on people's faces of just pure joy when they're starting to feel the victory over these fears. For most people, whenever you actually face your fears, they tend to, like that balloon, start to lose their size. They start to dissipate and start to really kind of become the proper size. A little worry, maybe a 1 or 2 out of 10, but not these overwhelming, paralyzing fears. Bonnie, my encouragement to people and the look that I see on their face would be just the joy that I see, the exuding energy of just, you know what, this fear isn't something that takes ownership over me anymore. And so for people that I meet with regularly, I encourage them, look, you are going to feel lighter. You're going to be able to see clearer your path forward. And especially for most people, I think it's not, do I have the time to put in this effort? But it's that do I have the time to not put in this effort? Freedom over that fear and freedom over anxiety is so powerful in people's lives that I do see them just all of a sudden feeling like they found that 25th hour in the day. Like they're able to just move more smoothly and less encumbered through their life. So I know that we're going to be talking a lot more about this as we move forward, but it is so worth it to walk down these paths together. And so I'm looking forward to the other podcasts we do and continuing to help people just have some very practical tools for how they overcome these fears and other things that entrepreneurs may be facing out there.
Me too. I'm so excited. I think that just in an industry that is so defined by the kind of successes you experience and the kind of perception that you have in the industry and all the things you're doing, we put a lot of pressure on ourselves to perform at high, high levels. And that is exhausting. That is intimidating if you aren't there yet, but you're dreaming of getting there. And I think that it's easy for experts to write the blog posts and record the podcast and do all the things to show you how to hit your next six figures. I mean, like I even do that. It's easy for people to tell you how to use Instagram in this way or grow your email list in this way. But realistically, like at the end of the day, are those endeavors that are life-giving for you and are those endeavors that are truly propelling you to live the kind of life and have the kind of business that fits into that life that you're dreaming of? And if at the end of the day, you're doing all of the things, but it's leaving you empty and burned out and stressed out and feeling hollow, that is not a successful or life-giving experience to me. And so I would much rather us, you know, kind of like pump the brakes on like the business talk for a hot second. And like, let's do a little bit of business therapy instead. Like, let's just have like some fun laid back conversations about some very pervasive topics that I see so many people wrestling with. I mean, I like this idea of the fear of success, fear of failure. Like I said, it's something that I see constantly with my group coaching clients. It's something that I have seen up close and personally in their lives and their businesses, also in my own life. And I think that maybe selfishly, to be able to really peel back the curtain on that and share more of that with y'all who are listening today, that that just brings me a lot of hope and a lot of joy that this can be a good thing in your life, that this can be good knowledge that you can then move forward with and take action on. So like Josh was saying, in our next episode, we're going to be talking about identity. So how to know yourself, how to understand how you best operate. This is something that I'm really excited about because I think we're also going to be diving into a little bit about how to separate your identity from your business so that your business does not in any way, shape, or form define you. Then on top of that, we're going to talk a little bit about how to really differentiate between prioritization versus balance. So how do you decide between more of the personal fun things like when to go on date night versus cranking out, you know, an extra 4 hours at your desk pulling a late night? So this is going to be such a great conversation for us to dive into in our next episode. And Josh and I have been working really hard in mapping out some great conversations that we will be continuing to dive into the next two episodes. So like you heard at the beginning of this episode, this is just a limited series around some of the most subtly pervasive mental health struggles that we see so many entrepreneurs facing. Think of it as just like a really kind of laid back form of business therapy. And so I hope that you will tune in and join us next time for that conversation around identity. And if you really loved everything that we talked about in the podcast episode today, be sure to go to brandstrategypodcast.com in order to grab the show notes. You'll be able to see any links to Josh and more of his work and any of kind of the memorable quotes we talked about in today's episode. And then of course, always, if you're able to hop on over to iTunes, rate, review, and subscribe, that always means the world to me and ensures that more entrepreneurs just like you can find the Brand Strategy Podcast and hang out with us. So Josh, thank you so much for hanging out with me today. really excited for what's to come, and I can't wait to hear more of your experience in the days ahead.
Well, you're welcome, Bonnie. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you so much for joining me today, friend. Before you go, I would be so grateful to receive your feedback on the Brand Strategy Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode or the podcast in general has helped you grow your brand, I'd really appreciate it if you left us a review in iTunes. Your positive reviews enable the Brand Strategy Podcast to continue to grow and reach like-minded creatives just like you. Plus, I'll be randomly selecting a handful of lucky reviewers each month to receive a little thank you surprise for me in the mail. Thank you for all your support and encouragement as together we pursue building brands with purpose and intention. Until next time, I'm cheering you on from Waco.